Stay tuned for The Lynn Show. Today, I'm airing an interview with actor, singer, dancer, Bill Selby. Bill's story is interesting because Bill had no interest in or thought of becoming a performer. When he was 11 years old, his mother asked him to tag along to an audition. He didn't know she meant for him to audition. The minute he was asked to fill out a piece of paper, his competitive spirit kicked in. And suddenly, as he realized that this was an audition for the one boy in a play with adults, Auntie Mame, he wanted it. He got it and has been doing it ever since. Listen to the remarkable way that he came to know what he was meant to do and how he lived his life pursuing it. Hang on, here come the show.
Hearing from an inner voice, finding choice where there's no choice, with gentle prodding from the voice, oh, you really can. Deeper, deeper down you dive, where the child's gone to survive.
The Lynn Show is about being the person you really are. Not the person that someone else is. Not the person you think you're supposed to be. Not the person they told you to be. Sometimes the person they told you you were. Not even the person you may currently think you are. But the person you were really meant to be. That is, the person you would have been if something hadn't gotten in the way to interrupt the natural development of yourself. And what gets in the way? Well, in childhood, unfortunately, quite often, children are told that this or that about them is not okay. It's ugly, it's unattractive, it's dangerous. Something that the child does brings a consequence which is painful. And when that happens, children try and pretend that this thing is not true of them. They don't laugh like that. They're not interested in that thing that they said they were interested in because others have told them that it's not appropriate to be interested in that. Children who get so good at this pretense can come into adulthood having forgotten really important aspects of themselves. And such people are not who they really are. So the Lynn Show is about saying that it is possible to reclaim, to rediscover, to get back what you may have had to deny. And in my show, I interview people who make their living or their life with an art, because when you listen to them, you can hear what it sounds like to be who you really are. And it is my hope that you are inspired to ask yourself if this is true for you as well. The interview I'm playing today with Bill Selby is with a man who discovered at 11 who he really was. Listen to Bill tell the story of how he discovered it and what he did with it. Here now is Bill Selby. So here I am with Bill Selby, and I'm interviewing Bill because he is currently appearing in the FST Cabaret Show, Shakespeare's Greatest Hits.
Right.
Yes. Okay, good. So I'm explaining to Bill that I interview people who make their living or their life within art.
Fantastic.
Yes. And I'm guessing that your art, the art to which you have given your life, is acting, singing, dancing, performing, theater?
Acting, singing, moves well. I don't call myself a dancer, but I've done dance shows. I've had to do tap, all kinds of things, but more of an actor, singer. And and when you say life experience, that's absolutely true for me because I started at 11 years old.
You anticipate me. I only have one question, and it is that. Can you tell me, not actually when you started, but the first moment in your life when you thought you might like to, or it looked good to you, or it
I know exactly when that was, and they say when the bug bites, and this was it. My mother took me to the Melrose Community Players. I'm from Melrose, Massachusetts. I was 11 years old, and she took me to auditions for Auntie Mame, the play. Now, that involves a boy named Patrick and all adults. They were looking for the boy.
Well, wait a minute. What made her take you?
She was interested in theater. She was sort of interested in it. My older brother was interested, did some junior high plays that I saw. And I was going to tag along. Now, she told me, just come with us. I think she had the intention of my auditioning. I had no idea I was going to audition.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Amazing.
The director, Ken Cornell, handed me a piece of paper as I sat there. And he said, would you fill this out? And the minute he did that, I became competitive, and I wanted the role. And I would listen to the other boys, and I'd go, I could do better than that. I could do better than that.
Oh,
I kept thinking
God.
That. Yeah, just clicked like that. I went and did it. I got the part, and the director told me later, when you walked in the room, I knew you were the boy.
Oh, my God.
How interesting is that?
And well, he knew, and you knew. That's
I'm telling you.
Very rare, I think.
And absolutely loved it. I was a little obnoxious when I started. I knew my lines and everyone's lines, they told me. And loved every second of it. And went on to do junior high musicals and plays.
Slow down.
Yeah.
So your mother clearly had this in mind, maybe for all of her kids, right? But you...
No, just my older brother was a bit interested, and he dropped out.
Ah.
But she knew, I don't know, she knew somehow. I didn't know it at the time.
No, I got it.
But,
okay,
yeah.
So after Patrick, was there a drama club? Did you take lessons?
Right, so Cornelia Mitchell, who's now Cornelia Beliveau, and I've kept in touch with her. She ran the junior high musicals and plays.
Mm-hmm.
I was cast in, I think, all of them. I'm not kidding. I did everything. I was the Tin Man in seventh grade in Wizard of Oz. We did The Curious Savage. We did The Night of January 14th, where I was a lawyer. We did Alice in Wonderland, Scrooge, I remember, and that was a musical, and I was Scrooge, and lots of stuff then, and from there moved on to high school musicals.
At the very beginning, you are not only knowing that you want to do this and you love it, but you must also be thinking that this is a life's work, no? Or were you thinking that I should be a doctor or an accountant?
No, I wasn't 100% sure that's what I was going to do, but I knew I loved it.
Ah.
And I succeeded at it, so it seemed the obvious choice.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the thing I was most interested in. I knew at a young age, too, that I always wanted to be happy. And I always say, and I say this at my age now, I can say I'm 56, that I wanted to look back when I was older and say I was happy, not that I was miserable behind a desk. And I can honestly say, though it hasn't been all smooth sailing,
yeah.
I've had a good time.
Yeah, okay, so, this is a very interesting perspective. Where would a boy come up with, I want to be happy, that suggests that you understood that there was unhappy
I think you always see miserable people in your life. You see the happy and the miserable.
Yeah.
And I automatically said to myself, I don't want to be that person. I would see unhappy teachers and happy teachers, you know?
Yeah.
So I would see the examples of unhappiness and say, I don't want to end up like that.
Right.
I remember thinking that as a kid. You know, I want to do what I like. And as I went along, I said, this is what I want to do, you know?
Amazing. So, okay, so junior high school, you're in everything. High school, you're in...
Did the musicals and did the leads and,
right, yeah, right, right.
And loved that.
Okay, so are you thinking college? Are you thinking training? Are you thinking...
I was thinking it, and here's the thing that really pushed me toward my choice, which was Emerson College in Boston. Absolutely loved all 4 years. There was a scholarship that was available for $1,000, mm-hmm. An acting scholarship for Emerson. They had, so you could win the $1,000, and also there was a contest at the time for the Best Actor Award.
We already know that you're competitive.
Well, my teacher Cornelia Mitchell from junior high took a hold of me and got me in there to compete for it. I played Creon in a scene from Antigone, very serious.
Yeah.
And I won both awards, which they told me was very unusual and hadn't happened.
Both awards
so,
being...
So I won the Best Actor and the $1,000 scholarship.
Oh, my God.
So it was like, one woman told me, I feel like I'm boasting, but this is what I was told, that a woman said, as we watched you, she said, everyone was sitting in their seats. And then as it went along, 2 minutes later, all of us were leaning forward.
Wow.
And I thought that was kind of cool, you know? I was a kid, but...
Well, what were you, 16, 17, 18?
High school senior, so probably 17.
Yeah. Right.
I was always younger, so I think I graduated at 17. But that was a thrill, you know?
No kidding.
So that kind of pushed me, and that didn't guarantee me I'd get into Emerson. But I sure mentioned it when I applied and said, I also won this award. And I got in and loved college. That was my time.
What did you major in?
It was a great time. I was originally a speech major. And then I switched halfway through to an acting major, acting BFA, and that's what I graduated with.
Mm-hmm.
Not sure they even had a musical theater major, but I wanted the acting major because I wanted that thing that said take me seriously, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I had great teachers.
Yeah. It's clear that you all had from the beginning the charming, the fun, the delightful, that you could do that character. So
yeah.
It's interesting that you knew that you should be looking at the more serious stuff.
Absolutely, you know? Yeah. I loved acting class. I thought it was, to dig in and get into the character, I loved every second of it. And William Sharp taught our Shakespeare part, and that kind of ties us into what's going on today. I have not done a Shakespeare play, but I've done many Shakespeare scenes from college.
Mm-hmm.
And I do remember one time when I did a Romeo and Juliet scene, and we did it very differently. I think we did it in bed, and somehow it wasn't normally done that way. And the teacher said to me, I've never seen it performed that way. And he was so interested in our take on it. And he had done Shakespeare a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So to make him kind of raise an eyebrow and go, now that's different. Mm-hmm. I like that. I was kind of proud of that.
No kidding. Okay, so 4 years at Emerson.
Yeah.
Right? And it was a good program and you learned a lot.
Great.
And then what happened?
I did some summer stock for 2 years at Booth Bay Harbor, Maine, and in Auburn, New York. That was a different experience.
Why?
Well, I'll put it to you this way. There were 12 of us living in an attic. And when you're not in professional theater, they can get away with murder. And when I think about that situation, that was crazy. Sleeping on the floor on mattresses, it was nuts.
Oh, my God.
But what came out of it were some great friendships that I hold dear to this day.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay, so some summer stock, and then what?
Then the big thing happened, and that was 1984, I auditioned for the show Forbidden Broadway.
Ah.
That's a show that has been around since 1981 in New York.
At the Triad.
That's correct. That's correct. And I played it there. Since 1981, it ran for many, many years. And in 1984, I auditioned in Boston. And they said to me, at that time, the parts were very delineated. You had the straight man who did the, and then you had the comic goofy guy. Now, the guy has to do all of it. But at that time, they said, the part that we think you're right for is not available, but we're going to keep you in mind. I found out about a production happening in Washington, D.C. I called the producer. This is how bold I was as a young kid. And I said, you know, I would like to audition for that. Can I be seen? He said, well, you'll have to travel to Washington, D.C. I said, well, that's fine. I lived there for a year, and I know somebody I can stay with. Well, we can't guarantee you anything. But I always remember that he said to me, we'll keep you in mind. And I knew they were interested in me. Mm-hmm. I auditioned in D.C., and another little secret that I found out was a note was passed from the pianist to the director after I auditioned. And that note said, if you don't cast this guy, I'll kill you. What I understood was I was the one they cast first, and they brought everybody else in after that. If that's true, that's what I heard. Mm-hmm. But believe me, that was a super talented cast. Oh, my goodness. With great talents, Janet Aldridge, Suzanne Blakeslee, Jerry Christakos, top notch. So that was a great way to begin. Mm-hmm. And I worked with that show off and on in New York and elsewhere, many regional productions, all the way to this day.
You're kidding.
I'm still involved.
Doing it, right?
I've directed 18 productions of it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So it became the bread and butter of your career.
Yes,
then,
it became
right?
my life, really.
Yes, right.
And I love it. I love it the same way I loved it when I began. Mm-hmm. It never died out. It's a fascinating, fun. I always say the amount of fun you can have with it is immeasurable. And I tell that to the actors that I'm directing. Mm-hmm. So you can have so much fun. So if I'm watching you and you look bored, you are not doing it right. You know, because it's so much fun.
Okay, so I'm just looking at Michelle. We're in good shape. Okay, so by the way, I edit this, so if you say anything you would prefer to take out, I'll take it out, like this. Yeah. Okay, so what else happened in your life that you want to tell me about?
Well, I'll tell you about two productions that I'm very proud of that I did recently, 2015 and 16. I believe I'm right about that. The first was South Pacific at Ivoryton Playhouse, and I played Billis. Mm. Now, this is a tough man's man, push the guys around. He's the leader. They're going to follow him. Okay?
Yeah.
I succeeded in the part. I was told by the New York Times and other papers that I was very believable. Mm-hmm. The following year...
I just want to stop you.
Yeah.
I imagine that this isn't the kind of role you usually get cast in.
I would say no. I'm a sensitive guy.
Yeah,
I'll tell you, when I think of
it,
myself,
right.
Mm-hmm. I had to ask myself when I got the part, do I have that in me?
The edge.
But I knew I could play it, you know? I knew what that was. And one thing I added to it was I'm from Boston, and I asked the director, can I use a Boston accent? I want him from Boston. I reread Tales from the South Pacific that it was based on, and it never says where he's from. So I said, I want my guy from Boston so I can do things like, you know, what I used to say, Bally High may call you any night, any day, in your heart, you'll hear it call you. I always liked doing that. Because we said hot, you know.
I know.
I always have my Boston accent to lean on. But succeeded in that. The following year, I was cast in Priscilla, Queen of the Desert as a trans woman named Bernadette.
Good grief.
And again, where I was cast, I thought, do I have it in me to really pull this off? And again, the Times and other reviewers used the word believable. Mm-hmm. So within a year, I felt I played a wide range, the tough guy and the very feminine woman.
Yeah.
And I will say it right out, I'm very proud of that.
Oh, no kidding. That's wonderful.
It was an actor's dream to do that. Priscilla was, wow, it was so different. I'm somebody who doesn't get any real pleasure out of dressing as a woman or anything, but to explore that and to learn to love it as Bernadette was a fascinating experience.
I'll bet.
I learned how to walk on heels. I've never done that.
Yes.
And as I always say, after the full experience of putting on the hose and putting on the makeup and putting on, I bow to every woman on this earth. I want to give you a hug right now, because the things you have to do, you know, we guys are putting on t-shirts and shorts and we're out the door.
No, I know.
But you women, to make it yourselves look fabulous, there's a lot of work, and I give women great credit for
it. And I give you great credit for doing it. I mean, do you know Matt McGee?
No.
He's a local actor, and he did MAME a couple of years ago, and said many of the same things. You know, the walking on heels. I mean, my God, we don't want to do it anymore.
I always say every man, straight or gay, should walk in heels for one day.
Yes.
Because you'll appreciate it. It's abnormal.
I know, it just isn't right. I know.
But then, of course, as you go along and when you succeed in being able to do it and not think about it.
Yeah, then you're just comfortable.
There's something about it that's kind of graceful, and you feel kind of fabulous.
Yes,
you
and
know?
It elevates you.
Yes. I'm 6'2". It made me 6'3", 6'4".
Right. Okay, so how did you wind up here?
I auditioned a couple of times for Florida Studio Theater.
Where did you audition?
In New York.
Mm-hmm.
And Richard Hopkins didn't cast me the first couple of times. I believe it's because I wasn't right for the shows.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's a very fair man, and he has a good eye.
Mm-hmm.
But when I came in for Laughing Matters Volume 5, which was 3 years ago, it had a kind of fun feel, like a Forbidden Broadway type thing. And I think he recognized, hey, this guy has that going for him.
Mm-hmm.
It could be used in this show. So what I said to him after I auditioned was, I just felt very, I wanted to speak from my heart.
Mm-hmm.
And I was honest to him. And this wasn't a thing where I was trying to get the job. It was how I really felt. And I said, I just want you to know, I said, that every time I come in to audition for you, I feel the warmth. I said, I feel warmth, and we don't usually feel that at auditions.
Mm-hmm.
I said, this has always been a nice experience, and I thank you for that.
Lovely.
And I don't know whether it helped me get the job, but I wanted him to know that because I know what it's like, you
mm-hmm.
know?
Yeah.
The audition experience can be very cold.
Yeah.
And from Richard, it was always nice. And when I didn't get the job, I thought, well, that was a good experience. You know,
mm-hmm.
I felt good about it. So I got the job
for
Laughing Matters, which was a blast. Met some great people, lifelong friends, like Nick Anastasia, if you're out there listening. You know, I love him. He's a great guy. And then auditioned again the following year, or if I remember correctly, I think they asked me to come in
mm-hmm.
to do Older Than Dirt. Now, that was a show about older folks. And, of course, when I got the job, I said, when did I qualify for a show called Older Than Dirt? You know, I'm living in my illusion.
I know, I'm 22,
as you can see.
That's right.
But that was a blast. I loved that. That was great. And the audience felt, it was like we were preaching to the group. You know, it was their show.
Yes, right.
So that was so much fun. And I had some good numbers in that. And then they had me audition for this one
mm-hmm.
because you don't know which actors can do Shakespeare
right.
or can't and have
right.
a way with it. And lucky me, third year in a row, I was cast.
So, okay, so we need to talk about Shakespeare.
Yeah.
Tell me about it.
Shakespeare's greatest hits. Some people say, I didn't know that he put out CDs back then.
Right. Right.
or, you know, whatever. No, but we're doing some music from that time, but we're also doing a lot of music that's influenced by Shakespeare. So we have West Side Story, which was based on Romeo and Juliet. We have Kiss Me, Kate, which is based on Taming of the Shrew. We have a couple of songs from that. We do a couple of numbers they used in a show called Play On, which had some Duke Ellington music, but that was all Shakespeare-oriented, that musical umbrella.
Which are you doing from Kiss Me, Kate? Are you doing Brush Up?
We're doing Two Darn Hut. We're doing Brush Up, Your Shakespeare. Mm-hmm. We're even doing some things from The Lion King, Hakuna Matata. Did you know, as we ask the audience in the show, that The Lion King is based on Hamlet?
No,
yes.
I didn't know.
Rewatch it and you'll see.
Yes, I can hear it when you say it.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
To be king and all of that.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
It's all there.
Wow.
So, yeah.
So, okay, and it's, it's running now. Do you know how long it's running?
We go till June 10th, I believe.
Oh, wow. So
and we got here January 17th,
yeah,
so it's a long run.
You've been extended, haven't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
These are long runs, and that's another thing Richard has to find actors that are able to do that.
Yeah.
And just leave New York and do it. And I'm one of them. I'm like, let me tell you, I love Florida. And I love Sarasota.
Yeah, sure.
If you have the theater and the beach, it's my perfect combination, baby. That's me through and through.
I got it.
Beach lover from when I was a child. So, you know.
Well, good. All right, great.
So it's a great situation.
So I only have one more question.
Yes.
And it is, having given a life to this work, and I mean if you started at 11, you know, you have given a life to this work, is there anything that you would say about what that's like or what you think about it?
what it's like. It is not all roses and ice cream. Ice cream's my favorite thing in the world. it's not. It can be very tough. One thing I always say to people is, I don't want to say negativity. I want to say when people say no to you when you audition, that is part of your life. You have to embrace that. Not say, they said no, that means I'm no good. No, it's part of the deal. Mm-hmm. What's going to happen is no, 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 yes. No, 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 yes. Now, I'm not sure how often
no,
those
no,
things
I understand,
will happen.
Right.
But you've got to stick with it. You've got to stick with it. You may not be their cup of tea. If you believe in yourself and you know you're good, you will be someone else's cup of tea.
Yeah.
It will happen. That's the way I feel.
Mm-hmm.
I never quite know when. Sometimes time goes by and I get another job. Sometimes I get the next job right away. But it's perseverance. It's sticking to it. And
your willingness to do it.
Yeah.
You know?
You're not going to make a bundle of money unless you're a star on Broadway or a star in film. That's
mm-hmm.
where the real money is. But when you love it so much, there's no real sacrifice. You're doing what you wanted to do, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So yes, there'll be tough times, but it's worth it. Because again, I'll be able to look back and say, wow, I spent a lot of time doing what I loved, and not everyone can say that.
Yeah, boy, and that is a perfect place to stop. Thank you so much,
Thank
Bill.
You. It was a joy to meet you.
So, it may not be perfect. There may be downtime. There may not be money. But I wouldn't do anything else because I can look back on my life and say that I spent much of it doing what I really want to do, being who I really am. And lots of people can't say that. How true. And as I said in the run-up, if listening to Bill has encouraged you to ask yourself, is this how you feel about your life? Is this how you feel about what you're doing in your life? If the answer is no, and you want to talk to me about that, then please go up on my website, thelynshow.com. That's thelynnesshow. Don't leave the E out of Lynn. Click on the email tab. Ask me any questions that you might have. You can even get me to come and speak to your group or organization. So, as always, I hope you got something from this show that you can use. Something that inspired you, something that intrigued you, something that will bring you back, because I will be back next week, same time, same station. And as always, I sure hope you will be too.
You see, I'm getting older. My hair is turning gray. Oh, you say my face and figure have both seen better days. Well, I won't be retiring. I won't slip out of sight. No, I will not go gentle into that good night. I won't go with a whimper. I am going with a bang. Life's a song I keep on singing, not a tune that I once sang. I just keep returning like some goddamn boomerang. No, I won't go with a whimper. I am going with a bang. You see that I have had my shot. My time has come and gone. Oh, won't I please get off the stage? Let someone else get on. Well, I won't be relegated or leave without a fight. No, I will not go gentle into that good night. I won't go with a whimper. I am going with a bang. Life's a bell I keep on ringing, not a chime that I once rang. You may think it's unseemly. Well, I don't give a dang. No, I won't go with a whimper. I am going with a bang. Rising from the ashes every chance I get. I may be running out of time, but it ain't over yet. 'Cause me and Sister Phoenix We won't give up the flight, no, no. We will not go gentle into that good night. And I won't go with a whimper. I'm going with a bang. Life's a song I keep on singing, not a tune that I once sang. I may not be as juicy, hell, but I still got some tang. So